Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Superpower: One Man's Quest to Transform American Energy is a nonfiction work of narrative journalism by Russell Gold that examines the American renewable energy transition through the career of wind developer Michael Skelly and his company Cleanline Energy. Rather than presenting energy policy as an abstract debate, the book shows how power generation, transmission, regulation, finance, and politics collide in the effort to build a cleaner electricity system. Its central concern is not just whether wind and solar can supply large amounts of electricity, but how the country would need to redesign its grid to make that possible at scale. Gold combines reporting on business strategy, infrastructure, and public policy to explain why renewable energy is technically feasible, yet institutionally difficult. The book is especially focused on long-distance transmission, regional resistance, and the challenge of turning cheap, clean power into something the existing system can actually deliver. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Michael Skelly as a case study in entrepreneurial clean energy development. A major strength of the book is that it uses Michael Skelly's career to make a large structural transition understandable through one person's choices. Skelly is presented not as a symbolic hero, but as a developer trying to turn a promising idea into functioning infrastructure inside a resistant market. This approach lets Gold show how innovation in energy is rarely just about invention. It is also about raising capital, persuading landowners, navigating regulators, and surviving setbacks over many years. By following Skelly from early wind development through Cleanline Energy, the book illustrates how renewable energy expansion depends on people willing to tolerate uncertainty and institutional friction. The result is a business and policy narrative in which entrepreneurial persistence matters, but only within systems that can either enable or block change. That focus gives the book its human center without reducing the story to biography alone. Secondly, the transmission grid as the real bottleneck in renewable energy expansion. The book's most important technical argument is that the main obstacle to renewable energy is not the lack of cheap wind or solar resources, but the absence of a grid built to move that electricity where it is needed. Gold explains the idea behind Cleanline Energy as a kind of interstate system for electrons, linking the best renewable resources in the Great Plains and other central regions to distant load centers. This matters because the strongest wind and solar sites are often far from major cities, yet the existing transmission system was designed around older, localized generation. By emphasizing long-distance transmission, the book shifts the discussion from whether renewable power exists to whether the country has the infrastructure to deliver it reliably. That infrastructure perspective makes the book different from simpler climate books, because it treats electricity as a logistical and engineering problem as much as an environmental one. Thirdly, how cheap, clean power still faces political and regulatory resistance. Another central theme is the disconnect between the economics of renewable energy and the institutional barriers that slow it down. Gold repeatedly shows that wind power can be inexpensive, but cheap energy alone does not guarantee adoption when utilities, regulators, and local interests are aligned with the existing system. The book describes farmers who may welcome turbines as a new source of income, landowners who oppose transmission lines, and utility executives who have incentives to preserve their control over the grid. This tension is important because it reveals why energy transitions do not move only according to market logic. Even when a cleaner option is more competitive, the older system can defend itself through permitting, lobbying, legal delays, and control over access to transmission. Gold's reporting makes the political economy of energy visible, showing that the path to decarbonization is shaped by institutions as much as by technology. Fourthly, a national energy strategy versus a fragmented power system. The book argues implicitly that large-scale renewable energy requires national coordination, not just local projects. Gold presents the United States as a country with excellent renewable resources, but a fragmented electricity structure that makes it difficult to treat power generation as a nationwide system. Cleanline's vision depended on new corridors that could move electricity across state lines and across regions, which in turn required coordination among multiple jurisdictions and stakeholders. This creates a broader strategic lesson if clean energy is going to replace a significant share of fossil fuel generation. Planning has to move beyond isolated projects toward a coherent grid architecture. The book therefore frames transmission as a public infrastructure problem, similar in scale to highways or railroads, rather than a narrow corporate investment decision. That perspective gives the narrative its policy relevance, because it shows why isolated success stories are not enough without system-level redesign. Lastly, the book's wider lesson about transition, conflict, and uneven change, beyond its specific focus on wind and transmission. The book offers a broader account of how technological transitions actually happen. Gold shows that major energy change is rarely clean or linear. It involves experimentation, failed ventures, financial risk, legal conflict, and resistance from powerful incumbents. Cleanline Energy's story demonstrates that even a persuasive technical vision can struggle when it collides with long-established rules and entrenched business models. This gives the book a practical value for readers interested in climate strategy, because it cautions against overly optimistic assumptions that good technology will automatically scale. At the same time, it avoids cynicism by showing that real progress has already occurred and that the renewable sector has matured enough to challenge fossil fuel dominance. The balance between possibility and obstacle is what makes the book analytically useful. It captures both the promise of a cleaner grid and the difficulty of building one inside an old system. In conclusion, Superpower will be most useful to readers interested in energy policy, climate change, infrastructure, utilities, and the business of renewable development. It is especially valuable for readers who want to understand why the renewable transition is not simply a matter of installing more wind and solar projects, but of rebuilding the transmission and regulatory systems that determine whether those projects can actually serve large populations. The book offers practical insight into how market incentives, land use conflicts, regional politics, and utility power shape the pace of change. Intellectual readers will also appreciate the way Gold turns a complex system into a readable account without oversimplifying its obstacles. Compared with many books on climate change, this one stands out because it is less about broad warning and more about the mechanics of implementation. It focuses on the infrastructure problem behind clean energy, making it a strong choice for anyone who wants a grounded, realistic view of what a national transition away from fossil fuels requires. Its combination of reporting, policy analysis, and narrative momentum gives it a distinct place in the energy literature. If you would like to support Russell Gold, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.